Okay, good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meeting for Student Success Program Nonprofit Board, which operates Rodeo Schools and the Charter Schools of San Diego. I'm Lynn Herring, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate the meeting. We'll first take roll call. When I call your name, please provide the group with a brief introduction. I don't think that's necessary. Everybody knows everybody, and for the members of the public. Myself, here. Scott?
Here, present.
David?
Present, thank you.
Jane? Not current. And Eric?
Present.
Okay. Mary, can you introduce the staff on the call today?
Yes, I know Lynn Alipio is on CBO. Jackie Robertson, Chief of Staff Communications, Will Berry, Administration, Alina Ninu, Assistant to Chief of Staff, Angela Neri, Administrative Assistant to the Office of the President, and let me see, Tim Tudor would be on. He is Executive Director. There are teachers from, let's see, I can see at least 15 sites. Angela, if you have all their names, could you read them off for me? Because I can't see all of them.
Yes, we have Wendy Rode from Claremont, Andrew Schultz from College Avenue, Roxy De La Rosa from downtown, Eddie Beltran from Euclid, Christine Daniels from Lake Murray, Celia Bonilla from Mira Mesa, Tara Opitz from North Park, Bridget Snyder from Northgate, Laura Lieblad from Petco, Denise Piachuk from Point Loma, Andrea Wood from Scripps Ranch, Ida Garcia from Sereno Mesa office, Roman Rubio from Tierra Santa, Holly Emmerich from Woodman, Rachel Marcourt from Kearney Mesa, Chrissy Hunsicker from La Jolla, Mission Valley East, Dominic Rios, Sharnita Moore from Moreno Valley, and Gail Levine from Tierra Santa K-5.
Is there any staff that we did not identify and introduce? I think that's it, Admiral Herring.
Okay, great.
And Mary, if I may add, all the sites are, we open all the resource centers to be accessible to the parents to participate.
Great. Good to have you all here this morning.
And it looks like Jane just joined, or yeah, there's Jane.
Okay, so we go back in a roll call, make Jane present. The establishment of quorum, item 1.3. Do I have a motion to approve item 1.3, the establishment of a quorum?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
Very well. We'll conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane? You on mute, Jane? Jane, you there?
She was. I think we lost her.
Okay. It'll remain absent for this particular. And Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Now, if I could all ask everyone to stand and the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Great way to start the morning. I'll now move to item 1.5, approve the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve for the approval of item 1.5 with recommendations from Mary Bixby?
So moved.
Very well. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any conversation or discussion on item 1.5? Very well. We'll conduct a roll call for a vote. Myself is aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane, you there? Nope. And Eric?
Aye.
Very good. Public comment. For the public, if you would like to participate in public comment, please complete a speaker card and submit it to the staff. Public comment is for items of interest in public within the scope of Student Success Program Board non-agenda and shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. And in accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond or give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point of the agenda as so ordered below. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted. On each non-agenda item, we'll have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, the board chair may equivocally decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted maximum. Item 2.1 is non-agenda public items. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2.2, agenda public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on the agenda? Hearing none, we're moving on. This is an opportunity, and this is now an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on a closed session item 3.2.1. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Hearing none, time 8:44, we will now go to closed session.
Please stand by.
Hi, this is Jackie. Jane, David, and Scott, you maybe got a phone conference link from Angela yesterday. You should have, and that's how you're going to join the special session or the closed session.
Hi, we're coming back.
Everybody return?
David's on.
Scott, Eric, Jane. Got it.
Jane, can we just test your mic really fast?
Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks so much. Do we have Mary? I hear music in the background.
Somebody's got music playing.
I'm sorry, Mary, could you do a sound check, please?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. Thanks so much.
I'm going to go on mute now.
Okay, we're now returning to open session. Closed session ended at 9:27. No action taken in closed session. We'll now be moving on. Administrative items. Item 4.1, discuss and consider approval of Board of Directors evaluations. For note, every 2 years, board members, members of the Board of Directors are asked to evaluate themselves as the efficiency of governing board member. This item is intended to review the evaluation form, to answer any questions of board members, and to ensure that each board member reviews the form, completes it, and takes careful consideration in self-reporting. As the chairperson of the board, it is my observation that board members have exceeded expectations, but the self-reporting process is an important element in ensuring transparent governance with a continued eye towards growth as the organization, as an organization, and to ensure that we are achieving the mission, vision, and core competency of this great organization. The chairperson of the board bears the responsibility of collecting and signing all forms once completed. Do I have a motion for approval of item 4.1?
You have a motion to approve?
Very well. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane? Got it. That was an aye. Eric?
Aye.
Very well, thank you. We're moving on to 4.2. Consideration approval of board member Scott Barton's term 2, July 1st, 2021 to 2023. Mary, is there a recommendation for item 4.2?
I move to consider approval of Scott Barton's second term.
Second.
Sorry, unmute. Recommendation for approval.
Very well. Do we have any discussion? No discussion. Very well. We will now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
I get to vote?
Aye. No, you don't.
Okay.
No. You're an abstention.
Conflict of interest.
So note that Scott is an abstain. David Cree?
Yes.
Jane?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Nice to have you back on board, Scott. Thanks for all your help in keeping this thing together.
Pleased to do so.
We'll now move on to item 4.3, consider approval of the 2021-2022 board meetings from Wednesday, October 10th, 2021, Wednesday, February 16th, 2022, and Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. Mary, are there any recommendations for item 4.3?
Recommendation for approval.
Very well. Of course, we know that these dates hopefully put in the schedule and everybody can attend. Do I have a motion to approve item 4.3?
So moved.
Very well. Do I have a second, please? Jane, thank you. We will conduct a voting roll call.
Is there an opportunity for discussion on this?
Or? Sure.
I have a conflict on the 20th. I will be October 20th, 2021. I will be on vacation and may not be available for a call-in during that meeting.
Okay. We will, if that be the case, we will still have a quorum.
Right.
But if more than one individual is unable to attend, we'll have to find a date to shift the meeting. But at current, we'll note that you will probably not be present. And if the quorum, if the item of quorum becomes an issue, then we'll address it before that meeting and get proper announcement.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I may have an issue with that same date, but I'm not sure. I'd try to call in. If not, Lynn and Tim, of course, would have authority to support the meeting.
Okay. We just need to make sure we have a quorum. We'll conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion passes. Consider approval of the 2021-2022 pupil attendance calendar, item 4.4. Lynn, is there a staff report for 4.4, please?
Okay. Yes, thank you, Admiral Harry. Our pupil calendar was designed and developed, and the total instructional days is 175 days. And when we develop and design the pupil calendar, all teaching days are identified and are trended to correlate to productivity, to productive ADA days. The pupil calendar works in tandem with the work calendars of the teachers whose contract-based days is 228. Note that historically, I'm saying this because of the Juneteenth holiday. The Juneteenth holiday was not incorporated in this pupil calendar that you are approving. But then we have to, if we are to include the Juneteenth, then we have to go back and redesign the pupil calendar days. But I'd like to, for the board to note that not all federal holidays are observed by the schools, such as the Cesar Chavez, the Columbus Days. However, we will develop the calendar and redesign it, and we have to be careful because it affects the teacher's calendar as well. So the next board meeting or so, we will develop and amend the pupil calendar to include the Juneteenth holiday.
Okay.
I recommend, though, that we approve this current calendar. But as long as you are advised that we are intending to add that holiday going forward, and we will bring you an amended calendar.
Okay, we can approve the calendar as is, and then address it once we understand where to go from here at a later date. And I am all for that. We can obviously amend a vote cast current at a later date. Okay, do I have a motion to approve item 4.4?
So moved.
Very well. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
Thank you. Any other discussion on item 4.4? We will now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Report on governance parental representatives posting for 2021. Lynn, do we have a staff report, please?
This is just an information for the board that we observed the board policy as far as the procedures for governance parental representative. We posted it in 90 days. However, we did not have any parent that is interested. So today, we don't have an application from a parent to bring forward to you.
I don't know what else to do. It has been a challenge since the day I've got on board. So I don't know how else to to get parents interested in participating. We certainly would love to have somebody representing, but we have to have an applicant first.
Well, this is not the classic year to do that.
I know. And it's been tough. Awfully. It's been tough all the way around. Hopefully we'll at some point we'll make this happen.
Right.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need, Mary?
Oh, I'm sorry. We certainly do our due diligence in regard to this, but COVID has not helped at all.
So. I know we've posted every single year and no interest. Okay. Moving on to item 4.6, President's Report. Mary?
I would just like to share that I think all of you are aware that we were very honored as a school because our chairman of the board was very honored by the California Charter School Association. Admiral Herring received the 2021 Heart Vision Volunteer of the Year Award, and that was extraordinary. That's wonderful. CCSA I've got a lot of schools to choose from in California, and there are many applications, and we've been honored a few years ago receiving a Teacher of the Year and now Volunteer of the Year. And certainly Admiral Herring, we're very grateful. You know, the one recognition is one in your long list of recognitions, I'm sure. But this one is very special to us. There was a video that was done by CCSA. They took care of it. So they asked us to participate in a video since the conference was done virtually. And it was really wonderful. It was wonderful. And Admiral Herring had some very complimentary things to say about the school. And I think I spoke on behalf of all of you in certainly thanking him and complimenting him and just expressing our gratitude for him sharing his high level of expertise with us. That makes such a difference going forward in terms of our work. So congratulations, Admiral Herring.
Congratulations, Admiral Herring.
Thank you so much. It's truly, I love the idea that there's recognition, but it's not about the recognition, it's about the end product. So I'm engaged because of what we do, not for what we do.
And
so thank you.
I have to share, you are often an inspiration to me too from the beginning. So thank you so much for keeping me going. The next item is the Audeo Charter School petition renewal. Lynn, you have a word to say about that? The Audeo Charter School petition renewal update.
Yes, thank you, Mary. That the charter petition for Audeo Charter School was voted and approved by the board. And so we are renewed for another 5 years, and it has been voted and renewed unanimously.
We're very pleased with that.
Well done.
And I think, too, I have to commend staff on that, Lynn and Tim. They worked very closely, and I'm sure Susan's on. They worked very closely with the charter office as well. And so that's very good. That's the collaboration I love to see. So it was a mutually satisfying experience, I guess. I guess that's what we'd say. The third item is a Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award application. As you know, we are a Baldrige school, and what that means is that we very closely follow their criteria as it relates to leadership, strategic planning, key indicators, you know the seven categories. And we received national recognition. We're the only K-12 school that ever did receive it for Baldrige 5 years ago. After 5 years, you are eligible to do another application. Now, the application in itself is a kind of way of formalizing our analysis of our processes and our systems. What we do, unlike, I would say, many charter schools, if not most, is that we take a very systemic approach to improvement. And in looking at our processes, not just those that we wish to improve, that we see, you know, that there's some room for improvement, but also those that are really considered excellent and have been identified as excellent, we work on those and try to move them to stellar. So the Baldrige tool has been critically important to and a tool for our success with students for well over 10 years. So we went ahead and we did another application. We don't know whether we'd get another visit or not. The person that we worked with said that it was the best application that she had ever been associated with. So we were able to show many improvements and accomplishments and refinements since the last cycle. And that's what is important to us. We never want to rest on our laurels. We always want to be doing better and better and better in order to have a model that people would be interested in and that could affect many more students than we will ever reach. There are good things that we do that people can look at. So we have submitted an application. It's excellent. It's helped us formalize, as I say, our forecasting and our hindsight. And I think that you'd be very proud of that work, but it remains to be seen. There's only a handful of schools that have ever received, you know, two recognitions. So we are engaged perhaps in that process. That's the end of my president's report.
Thank you. I know that that I may have said this before, but we've got a couple of board members, new board members since the application process the first time around. But I also want to recognize the incredible importance of the recognition. When I was serving as vice president at USD, I asked the university to consider becoming a Balcom school. One of the first universities in the country. After a year, I was told it was just too difficult and was told to put my idea aside and maybe address it a few years later. But when I came here and Mary started on it, that truly was proof that it can be done. And a national recognition of a K through 12 is almost unheard of. And we will now be going for our second award. And I think that that is truly exceptional. A tremendous amount of hard work by staff. But more importantly, the Malcolm Baldrige Award requires a specific dedication on mission, focus, and purpose. And without it, there is no award. And to be the only school recognized is a true achievement, So I applaud you all again for your hard work. And I think that's wonderful. I hope the 2021 application is approved and you become the only school in the country to have received two K through 12.
You know, the other thing that it does for us that is wonderful is that it helps integrate the different departments.
You bet.
That's a challenge. That really is a challenge. Everybody hates silos. And, you know, you say, how do you fight silos in any organization? But this is really an example of integration. So there are many staff members involved in different aspects. So that's all I'll say about that. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to 4.7, strategic plan update. 4.7.1 is the Odeo Charter School, school participation report. And 4.7.2, Tim, is there a staff report on those two reports, on those two plans?
Good morning. Yes. For the learning periods that cover January 11th, 2021 through April 30th, 2021, you have the student participation reports by Resource Center and school. Overall, Odeo and the Charter School of San Diego are meeting and exceeding the LCAP goal of 84% participation. the Charter School San Diego's as of April 30th is 86.7%, and Audeo's is 90.4%. So both schools' participation, which is the attendance and independent study in California, is they're doing very well.
Outstanding. Okay, moving on. Are there any comments on that? There's a lot in that those few pages, but again, well done. Achieving and exceeding goal is our objective. So on to 5.0 is the consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine. They'll be approved or enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion of these items prior to the board voting on them. I recommend that all consent agenda items be moved forward.
I agree.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved.
Thank you. We will now conduct a roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Thank you. Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Motion passes. Item 6.0. Action item 6.1, action items for Audeo Charter Schools and Charter Schools of San Diego for each school. We have the consider approval of the 2021-22 Local Control and Accountability Plan with budget overview for parents and presentation of dashboard local indicators. We have 6.1.1 was the Audeo Charter, and then 6.1.1.2 is the Audeo, is the Charter School of San Diego. Tim, is there a report?
Yes, I'm going to share a PowerPoint presentation to go over the plan and the local indicators. And of course, throughout the presentation, if there's any questions, feel free to interrupt or ask them at the end as well. So give me 1 second so I can share my screen. Okay, can someone just confirm they can see this?
Can see it.
Yeah, yes.
I can see it.
Okay, thank you. So we are back in the annual cycle of the Local Control Accountability Plan, and we have developed the plan for the next school year, the 21-22 school year. And in this presentation, we will give you just an overview of the new LCAP, and also at the, towards the end of the presentation, updates on our dashboard local indicators. And so this is for both the Charter School San Diego and Audeo Charter School. Just a reminder, the LCAP is a tool for schools to use to set goals, action plans, and use their resources to meet those goals. Ultimately, the outcome is to improve student outcomes. It is a three-year plan, and so within the plan, we describe the goals, the actions, the services, and it is aligned to the budget. And the state has different priorities that they are asking schools to meet. And so the plan, the LCAP, is addressed to those priorities. It really does tell the story of the how, what, and why we develop programs or services to meet the needs of our students and our stakeholders. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, last year there was a pause on the LCAP. Instead, as you recall, last fall, we developed and approved, the board approved the Learning Continuity and Attendance Plan and the COVID-19 Operations Written Report. And this was in an effort to make sure that we had the systems in place to support students through mostly virtual learning as everyone was working and studying from home. And then as we, move back towards the resource center. So last year was really about how to handle COVID. And so the LCAP essentially was on pause for a period of time. We did at the May meeting give you an update to the previous LCAP that was adopted for the 19-20 school year. And so this is that was also considered as we developed the 21-22 LCAP. There's different components of the new LCAP. The template has been adjusted every year at the state seems to adopt the template based upon the feedback from the schools. You'll see in your board packet, it's you know, a very lengthy document with all these different components included. It does start with a budget overview for parents. It kind of gives parents an idea of what is in the LCAP and what are we spending the funds on. There is the annual update from the 1920 LCAP. It has the summary of the new LCAP, the different stakeholder engagement activities. This last year, we've had over 30 opportunities for stakeholders to give input. Board meetings would be an example of one of those. It has the specific goals and action plans, which I'll review with you here shortly. And then we show, they ask schools to show, what are you doing to increase or improve services specifically for three groups? English learners, as you'll see referenced, are ELs in the plan, low income or LI, and foster youth, FY. So we really need to show and support those groups with additional activities or increased improved services within our plan. Then there's also a series of expenditure tables. So essentially the different departments work together in the development of it, and finance is a big component of that, where the budget is aligned to everything we're doing with the LCAP to ensure that we can provide the resources to make these things happen. And then there's instructions on the plan itself.
Tim?
Yes.
Quick question on the previous. Has there been any on the previous slide? Has there been any conversation specifically? I know that low income is identified. Has there been any conversation specifically to address the homeless? The population is continuing to grow, and the number of individuals who I understand from a family perspective has grown almost 17% in the last 5 years, which means there's a greater chance and likelihood that homeless individuals, while that yes, they're low income, could potentially be addressed separately and distinctly through a charter-like program.
The homeless students are captured in the low income group. The plan itself doesn't pull out them separately, but they are captured in the low income group, and our actions and services do incorporate everything that our homeless students we would know that they would need to move forward. So it does include, but the plan itself relates to these three groups. Homeless would fall under low income.
So does that include providing or potentially creating opportunities for securing the necessary resources?
Correct.
Okay.
Partnerships, bus passes, you know, materials for students.
Okay.
We provide materials for homeless students, transportation, food, you know, extra tutoring services. So they are included.
Okay, it's really starting to be a concern. It's almost a separate population on itself, individual from having to deal about low income, but actually living on the streets.
Yes, and we are seeing an increase with that as well within our student population.
Not something I ever thought I'd say in America, but
yeah it's really unfortunate. And so this plan allows us to really look at the different types of students and give those increased or improved services for students that really do need it.
Okay, thank you.
And we can, yeah, I'll get into a little bit more specifics. No, I appreciate the questions. So we have five goals. These have been consistent over the last few LCAP revisions, so you won't see too many differences because it continues, our stakeholders continue to tell us that we're on target with these. We do make minor adjustments to the language, but in summary, the first goal is around academic engagement and achievement. And we, as a dashboard alternative school status, a DOS school, meaning we serve a unique student population that's typically transient, behind in credits, and habitually truant overall. We have specific measures that we determine would show success for our student population. So that's goal one, and I'll get into the specific actions and services in each of these goals. Goal two relates to really offering that broad and rigorous course of study so that we have a variety of courses students can take, and that is aligned to all the different content standards here in California. and important and really important that it's accessible to all students. We don't try to track student into one different, let's say, CTE pathway or another. It's really, it's available to all. Goal three relates to a professional learning system. We often refer to that as Altus University, where we provide very targeted and data-informed professional development to all of our staff, but most importantly to our teachers, to help them have the resources and the knowledge to be effective with students. Goal four, we really want to make sure we're offering a safe environment with the supportive culture so that our students can grow and be successful and feel safe when they're doing that. And then the last goal is resource centers that are in the neighborhood, easy for students to access, a quality educational option that's innovative, engaging, and community-based. And so those are the five goals, and I'll go ahead and get into the specific actions and services for each one of those. So goal one, academic achievement. We have two different categories here. What do we do for all students? And then what do we do specifically for the three groups that I mentioned previous is what the LCAP requires you to do. We do have an assessment system. We have a number of assessments that allows us to really monitor and provide support based upon data. So our Northwest Evaluation Association, our MAPS testing, we regularly test students in reading, language usage, and math. Annually, we do it in the fall and then look to see what type of growth they have in the spring. And our teachers are able to use that information to modify, engage, and really encourage students to progress forward academically. We do, when we're non-COVID times, Smarter Balance assessments are available to us, and we look forward to continuing those assessments in years moving forward. And then Illuminate, which is a comprehensive system for us to put all the data, end of course exams, NWA, Smarter Balance, all together for teachers to have access to a variety of data points, and our curriculum department as well, so that they can adjust the curriculum based upon where we think we need students to focus on in the curriculum. Every student has a Pathways Personalized Education Plan, so that's unique to them. They take courses, they have their schedules, different post-secondary opportunities. Those are all, every PPEP, as we call it, is unique to each student. When they enroll and when they finish, there's no two alike, essentially. We have a multi-tiered systems of support, so we provide a series of interventions at different levels, depending on the need. So if a student's really struggling, we may move them to the next level of support and increase the amount of services and interventions that a student would need to continue to be engaged to move forward in the program. So those things are available to all students, and we implement those across the board. More targeted for the English learners, low income, and foster youth would be, we have our English Learner Achievement Department, and that really focuses on strategies to engage and help English learners progress. That's a department of both administrators and teachers working together to provide those resources to the different resource centers out there. We have an Equity and Inclusion Department that's responsible for specific programs that support the three different groups, bus passes, computers to kids, meals and food to students. English Learner falls under there, the Health Department. So there's just a lot that the Equity and Inclusion Department does. And under that, we have one teacher that's on assignment for special programs and helps to facilitate a lot of those items that low income foster youth would need to support them. We do partner with outside organizations to provide targeted math and ELA support to these students. So we provide a lot of that internally, but we also partner with EdLadder to come into different resource centers and have experts, one-on-one small group math and ELA tutoring supports to help them, those students, achieve success. And then we have learning leads. The Charter School San Diego is split up into three different regions, and there's additional support to coach teachers around how to be successful with those student groups. So moving on to goal two, again, the key actions and services for all students. We have a blended learning model. All of our courses are A to G approved. All eligible courses have that designation. We have a comprehensive English language design program. So that's embedded throughout and available to for all students. We have accelerated coursework. We have honors coursework and advanced placement courses that all students are able to take. We have a variety of career technical education pathways. So if students are interested in hospitality or law enforcement, they have healthcare, they have different pathways and coursework that they can take to engage in those different potential careers. We have early college credit program where students can take a community college coursework with us while a high school student and earn college credit. And then we have work experience opportunities that all students can take a part in. Some specific actions and services for English learners, low income and foster youth. We have the Altus Connect program, which is we provide Chromebooks and hotspots to students in need. We had this program before COVID, and when COVID hit, it became something that we were able to increase productivity on and really help more students out with this. So that was very helpful to have that in place already. We have Achieve 3000 and BrainPop ESL, both online support programs for English learners to help them gain competency with English. And EduNuty MyPath courses provide credit recovery and supplemental resources so that students can really go back and learn the concepts to move forward with the courses that they need to graduate high school. So a variety of programs and services there for students in those groups. Goal three, professional learning system. So as I mentioned before, we typically refer to a big section of this as Altus University, which currently we call it Altus University in the Cloud, because just like we are today in this meeting through Microsoft Teams, and we do use Zoom sometimes as well, we provide all our professional development. We have each month, we have a series of sessions that's available for our teachers to learn the concepts and knowledge they need to be successful with all of our students. So professional development is a pretty significant part of our culture here. Our teachers have the ability, we've been doing this for several years, to become Leading Edge certified through the County Office of Education to learn the concepts on how to really administer online learning in a very successful way. And so I think we're well above the 70% threshold in terms of the number of teachers that have this type of certification. We do offer several series of executive studies for teachers and staff in terms of leadership opportunities, leadership development, and thoughts around that type of learning. We offer career technical education professional development and also youth mental health first aid certifications. And so our goal is that all teachers within the first few years have that type of certification. When we look at specific targeted actions and services for English learners, low income and foster youth, we also do partner with the Wright Institute, which is a writing program that our teachers can get a certification on. It's called the Writing Redesign for Innovative Teaching and Equity. And that allows our teachers to have additional professional development around students that are needing additional support for the writing process. We do have English Language Advisory Department professional development, where again, that ELAD group is learning everything around English learners supports and then providing that to all of our teachers that work with English learners. And then we also offer trauma-informed practices for schools, which is TIPS training when you're dealing with mental health supports and trauma that a student may have incurred over the course of their lives, how to handle those types of situations. And we do offer ADVID support, which is the advancement via individual determination on successful practices around preparing for post-secondary and things that they can do to be a really good student. And then again, we have learning leads, and we have a math specialist that also is there to coach and support our teachers and staff in the different areas. Goal four, safe environment and supportive culture. Key actions and services for all students are, we have an executive safety committee that meets this year. We've been meeting at some points weekly, other points every other week, especially as we've been dealing with the COVID pandemic. But also we look and review all of our resource centers for all the different safety components. One new addition is all of our resource centers have a locked door, meaning teachers can buzz people in. No one can just walk in without being buzzed in. Each teacher has a buzzer from their desk so that they can monitor the door and ensure that anyone that's not supposed to be there doesn't have access to the resource center. We also look at, you know, all of our sites now have the AED, if you've got a reset of heart or bloodborne pathogen kits, eyewash stations. There's just a number of safety features that's embedded within our school safety plan and the different drills and preparation activities we do to prepare for a potential emergency. Each resource center has a safety ambassador that is the designated person on each one of those sites to help support safety. They're not solely responsible for it. Everyone's responsible for it, but we have regular quarterly safety ambassador meetings where the safety committee is distributing information and conducting a series of trainings to those folks to help bring that back to the resource centers to support safety. We do have a healthy youth department where we are going to be hiring two mental health licensed marriage and family therapists or licensed clinicians that will be on staff to support mental health with our students. And that will fall under the Equity and Inclusion Department. And then the Character and Leadership Development Program that really encompasses our California Cadet Corps. We have the only program like that in San Diego County. And we have about 100 cadets that meet regularly and are working on a series of activities that support that program. And anyone's available, anyone can join, and there is no cost to any student at all. Targeted actions and services specifically for English learners, low-income, and foster youth will be mental health counseling services. We have those ongoing for all students, but also specifically for those students as well. We have a resilience in student education, or which we refer to as the RISE program. And it's a series of workshops, typically monthly, where students can learn different ways of coping with situations that may be stressful, how to be a good student, how to handle trauma. So those are ongoing and accessible, specifically for English learners, low-income, and foster youth. And then we have a meal and nutrition program that provides those items to students on an ongoing basis. And then our last goal is providing innovative and engaging resource centers. This is a major component. This is the structural design of our campuses. We have a series of, when we look at the key actions and services for all students, we provide a number of parent and student activities on site at these resource centers. This year we transitioned to online, but we will be transitioning them back to in-person as well. Examples would be our open houses, college and career week, and senior exit nights that folks come on the resource center to participate in. We do have a family learning series through Altus University where students can learn about, you know, how to apply to college, how to get jobs, different just strategies of being a student in our program. And so they can take part in that. We have a tremendous amount of technology. We've invested, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in technology that our students can be engaged with in the resource center, and that we know will give them the ability to move on post-secondarily and would still be using those types of technologies. That's something we provide all students. And then we also have developed over the course of the last several years a pretty comprehensive online tech tool library where our technology department has put together on a website accessible to our students and families all the different online resources a student would need to be successful in our coursework here at Altus. And then when we look at specific target actions and services for English learners, low-income and foster youth, again, our English Learner Advisory Committee is made up of parents of English learners and staff members that work with English learners. So they are developing and providing supports to our students. And then we have a bus pass program, as I mentioned previous, that if a student needs support with transportation, they can get that free of charge that the school will provide. So those are the five LCAP, the kind of the summary of what the LCAP goals look like moving forward with the actions and services for all, and then those three specific groups. We will continue to implement and adjust based upon stakeholder feedback. We will monitor and evaluate the effectiveness. The LCAP template requires you to conduct a goal analysis annually for the next 3 years and measure and report results annually for the next 3 years. We'll continue to engage our stakeholders with providing a variety of opportunities. I will tell you, if there's a number of teachers listening right now, a lot of these ideas came from them. And so those are valuable as we continue to move forward. And then, of course, it's aligned to the budget to ensure that it's not just a plan that sounds great, but actually has the resources to implement. So as part of the LCAP approval for this year, the state board also is requiring that schools look at the dashboard local indicators. So the dashboard typically has information on it that comes from Smarter Balance Assessment and CalPADS, which is the state's student information system, and they calculate graduation requirements or graduation rates and things of that nature. So that's data that is calculated to the state, and then every fall they publish what they call the California School Dashboard. Because of COVID last year, they put that on pause, but they will be moving forward with it in the future again. And so schools, if you recall, we also, as part of that process, we were required to develop local indicators that are more self-determined and self-reported as part of the dashboard, and typically are not something that comes from a formal assessment that the state requires you to do. So I'll just give you some a progress here in a minute on those different local indicators, but it's also important then to note that this is a non-consent item, because the requirement is that this is at a regular scheduled meeting of the board in conjunction with adoption of the LCAP. Later on, in the November, we will be publishing the final results from the local indicators. And as part of this process, we've adopted a self-reflection tool that the state gives us to be able to facilitate that work. There's different local control funding formula priority areas for schools. Some examples of that, which I'll show you how we determine whether we're successful with them that or not, are implementation of academic standards. Students have access to broad course of study. We provide teachers, instructional materials, and facilities that are all excellent. We engage our parents and our families, and that we do a local climate survey to see how those parents and students are telling us we're doing, essentially. So one of the first local indicators that we have that we determined before and are continuing to monitor is that our curriculum is aligned to standards. So there's a variety of standards. There's the Common Core standards, there's the science, next generation science standards, English language development standards, and the career technical education model curriculum standards. And so our curriculum teams have done a tremendous amount of work as these have been developed and published by the state to ensure that all of our curriculum is aligned to those standards. And in previous years, you may have seen that we were moving up 10 to 20% every year, and we have reached full implementation where all of our coursework is aligned at both Adeo and CSSD 100% to these standards. Professional development to implement the academic standards, we do ask that the percentage of our teachers, they most exceed the 60 hours, some up into the hundreds of hours, because We have so much professional development that we do offer internally and externally. So currently right now, Audeo is at 100% of teachers have met that, and CSSD is at 98%. So there, I think just one teacher is the difference there. And then we ask those teachers, tell us if this is relevant or not. Does this help you with your job? Does this help you engage students? And evaluate those professional development sessions. And the rate of relevance has come back very high, where Audeo is at 98% and CSSD is at 97%. In terms of access to our students, 100% of students at Audeo and 100% of students at CSSD have access to broad and rigorous course of study. So that's really important. Students can look at the list. They can republish our course offerings on our website and handbooks and PPEP sessions as we're planning, so that students know they can take a variety of coursework with us. We do have 7 career technical education pathways that are available to our students. And then we've trying to really push to increase the number of AP testing over the last couple of years so that our students can really take advantage of that opportunity to be engaged in an advanced placement course. And currently right now we have 54 Audeo students this last year and 176 CSSD students. In terms of conditions and climate, it's important that our teachers are credentialed and appropriately assigned. And so Audeo is at 100%. CSSD is at 96%. We have 2 teachers, I believe, that are finishing their intern credentials, and they'll be fully credentialed going into next year. And then percent of students without access to any of the instructional materials is 0%. Everybody, we can provide hard copies, online copies. They all have access to everything to use at school and at home. And then our facilities, as many of you have seen the facility work that we've done over the last several years, they are all excellent condition and are engaging for students and staff. So there's no issues with our facilities. And then another way in which we show local indicator success is with ongoing staff meetings. So we provide a number of, we call them our communication knowledge management system, but staff meetings to build capacity through Altus University, department or instructional meetings are at full implementation for both schools. We have a school site council and English Learner Advisory Committee that's made up of parents, students, and staff that is full implementation. We provide a number of school events. A lot of the LCAP activities are embedded into those as well, so we can continue to get feedback, full implementation. And then we have, I believe, nearly 100 community-based partnerships that support the needs of our students. A lot of them fall into the category of English learner, homeless, foster, and low income. And that's at full implementation as well. So those are our local indicators and the progress we're making on those. We'll continue to monitor the results. And then we will be asked, I believe, by the state to publish those outcomes, most likely in November, as part of the state's dashboard publicization of it. And so that is the presentation on the local control accountability plan for 21-22, also including our local indicators and how we're determining success and moving forward. And I'd be happy to answer any additional questions the board may have.
Okay, thank you, Tim. A very detailed and inclusive brief. A lot of work obviously went in there. Any comments or questions from the board?
I thought that was a very comprehensive and detailed report, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Admiral Harry, you're muted.
That'll help. Do I have any other comments? No. Okay, then moving forward, do I have a motion to approve item 6.1 through 6.1.1.2?
I'll move that.
Very well. Do I have a second?
I second.
Any other further discussion? Very well. We'll now move to a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very good. Moving on to item 6.2.1, consider approval for the second interim report, FY 2020-2021. Lynn, do we have a report?
Thank you, sir. First of all, I just wanted to tell the board that if we can include when you motion the word ratification, if you recall, the board approved a policy, board policy, that before submission of the interim reports to the authorizer, that you have authorized the president and CEO to approve it prior to the submittal to the authorizers. Interim reports, these are all your actuals and your budget, you're comparing it, which is from July 1 through January of the fiscal year.
Okay. Acknowledged. Mary, is there anything for 6.2.1? You're muted, Mary.
I wouldn't add anything. Recommend approval.
Very well, thank you. Do I have a motion for approval of item 6.2.1?
So moved.
Very well. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we move forward with a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Moving on to 6.2.2, review and discuss the May revised operational budget assumptions for FY 2020-2021 and consider approval for the May revised operational budget for FY 2021. Lynn, is there anything else you need to add to this?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to start and express that you all have seen the budget assumptions, which is very, very comprehensive. It is written for the board to understand the way the budget is developed from the explanation of how the ADA work is calculated for non-classroom based, the FTE equivalent, the benefits, the reserves and the oversight fees, and as well as the facilities, which is your facility lease contract. So I am very proud to say that this makes the board easier to understand the budget. Second of all, on the May revised budget, which is for the 2021 fiscal year, I'd like to for the board to note that the 2020 fiscal year, 21 fiscal year budget is based upon the actual P2 that is earned by the school in the 1920 fiscal year because of that legislative called SB 98. So the P2 ADA this year is frozen to the 1920 fiscal year. And as you recall also, when the law was approved for this 2021 fiscal year for enrollment growth, non-classroom base is excluded from enrollment growth funding for this fiscal year. And of course, we are very, we always measure what would be the actual P2 ADA had we been funded rightfully. So for this fiscal year, the ADA that we calculated would have been earned for Odeo Charter School is 780 P2ADA, and we were funded for 596.37 ADA, which means that there's a variance of 203.29 ADA, which is not funded, and it amounts to $2,073,339. Also, this May revised operational budget is comprised of 3% reserves, which also comprised of a budget allocated for 46 FTE, the full-time equivalent. And, you know, when we assess the FTE, we pay attention, close attention, to the mandated ADA teacher ratio of 21:1, as well as the special education mandated caseload ratio of 28 special education students over the SPED teacher. Another thing is this budget incorporates a one-time special funding this year because of the coronavirus, the COVID-19 assistance to the school, which comprised of ESSER-1, ESSER-2, Learning Loss Mitigation Fund, General Fund Learning Loss Mitigation, Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, and then the Mental Health Level 1. And the total amount of those one-time funding for 2021 fiscal year is $732,700.
Could I just add that those funds were made available to other schools, so in no way does that replace the $2 million that we were, $2 million plus, that we were not funded? We had those students, we paid for servicing those students, but we were not funded. And that was, Lynn, was that the Odeo School you were talking about?
Yes, just the Odeo Charter School.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that there's an opportunity for us to utilize this information going forward. I certainly would like to know a little bit more about how this came to be, and more importantly, how we can potentially engage in trying to find a way to make this more fair. I can't believe that we were asked to front $2 million to educate our population during this time.
Admiral Herring, we were not the only schools.
I know.
We're non-classroom based. It was statewide. There was some litigation that was brought forward by five schools. And it was basically the governor approved that, or he didn't disapprove it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And so that it's seeing its way through the courts, as far as I know right now. We were not involved in the litigation at all, but they were well represented by some of our sister schools.
I'd just like to know a little bit more. I mean, today he's giving away $116.5 million as a lottery for COVID vaccinations. And we were asked to front $2 million for the education of the future of California. I'm not sure how that translates into being fair. But anyway, enough. Let me see. Do we have anything else on this item?
No, sir.
Do I have a motion for approval of item 6.2.2?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? We conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 6.2.3, review and discuss the preliminary optional budget for FY 2021-22. Consider approval of the preliminary operating budget for FY 2021-22. Lynn, is there any additional items that you need to discuss on this subject?
Yes. The for 21-22 is based upon an ADA of a 548.94, and it's based on a full-time equivalent of 39. And we allocated 3% reserve to this budget. There is also a one-time funding that is included in this budget, which include the ESSER III funds, the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, which amounts to $325,149. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, Mary, is there anything you need?
No.
6.2.3. Do I have a motion to approve item 6.2.3?
So moved.
Well, David, do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Eric. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll conduct a roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Moving on to item 6.2.4, consider approval of the 2021-22 Educational Protection Account, EPA, resolution and expenditure plan. Lynn, is there a staff report on 6.2.4?
Just a minor statement that, as you can see in the resolution provided the legislative history of this fund, and this fund is included in the LCFF funds as well. And the EPA fund that the board is approving for the expenditure plan is $109,788, and we plan to expend this fund for teacher salary and benefits.
Okay. Anything else, Mary?
Nothing.
Very good. Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve 6.2.4?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Jane, second. Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion's approved. Item 6.3, action items for the Charter School of San Diego. Item 6.3.1 is consider approval of the second interim report, FY 2020-2021. Lynn, the staff report?
Just to add to the board, I think we can add the word ratification when you do the motion. And this is an interim report which compares your actual and your budgets, which is from July 1 through January 31, financial activities.
Okay. So noted. Mary, is there any other recommendations for 6.3.1? Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of item 6.3.1 as amended?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll now conduct a voting by roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion is approved. Item 6.3.2, review and discuss the May revised operational budget assumptions for the FY 2020-2021, and consider approval of the May revised operational budget for FY 2020-2021. Lynn, do we have a staff report?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Similar to Adair Charter School, this 2021 budget is based on an actual P2 ADA of 1,659 based upon the SB 98 regulations. But in actual, when we calculated the actual P2 for the Charter School of San Diego, it's really 1,802 ADA. So therefore, with the Charter School of San Diego, there is an unfunded P2ADA, which amounts to $1,517,132, a difference of 143 ADA. The budget also allocated 143.22 ADA as well as the facility lease contractual obligations. There is a special one-time funding for this 2021 fiscal year, which includes your CARES Act for ESSER funds, ESSER II, learning loss mitigation funding, expanded learning opportunity grant, the level one mental health fund, which totals to
$1,747,825. Wow. Okay, Mary, is there any further recommendations for item 6.3.2?
Recommend approval.
Yeah. All right, do I have a motion for the approval of item 6.3.2?
So moved.
Very well. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. We have one. Any discussion?
I would just like to add that when students aren't funded, it is obvious that that we have to adopt. We had to make a decision of do we educate those students or don't we? By law, we can't turn away students that apply to our school, whether they're funded or not funded. There isn't really resonance between the two things. Anyway, in good conscience, we felt that we needed to educate them. So staff adjusted and made it possible and made it so. So I think through good physical planning, we were able to address those students. We wouldn't be able to do it in the long term. And hopefully, I can't say I don't anticipate it, but I don't expect that would continue into the future. I certainly hope it would not. But I don't want to suggest to you that there was not hardship, but it was good planning in the part of Lynn Olivio and Will Berry, and the financial advisors that helped us get through that. So thank you. I know you feel strongly about it, and that's why I'm telling you.
Thank you for the comment, but I also, at the same point, it seems as though, again, the organization focused on the mission and not the bottom line. So these students were not left out in the cold as they should have been taken care of during this crisis. And we stepped up to the plate and made it possible. So I applaud you all for your efforts and, more importantly, for achieving the goal that has been achieved in this time. So is there any other discussion that needs to happen on this issue? If not, may I have a motion to approve item 6.3.2?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very well. I'm assuming the discussion is completed, so we will conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Moving on to item 6.3.3, review and discuss the preliminary operating budget assumptions for FY 2021-22 and consider approval of preliminary operating budget for FY 21-22. Lynn, I'm assuming it's the same thing. Can you give us the numbers on this one?
Yes, thank you. This budget is based upon a P280A of 1,837.28 and a full-time equivalent position for 123. The reserve is also factored for 3%, as well as the one-time funding for 21-22, which is comprising of CARES Act, the ESSER II, the ESSER III, Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, and the total for that special one-time funding is
$1,597,653. Thank you,
sir. Very well. Mary, any comments? Oh, recommend approval.
Very well, thank you. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 6.3.3?
So moved.
Very well, do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll move to a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Well, moving on, motion passes. 6.3.4, consider approval of the 2021-22 Educational Protection Account Resolution and Expenditure Plan. Lynn, we have a report.
Yes, sir. For the Church School of San Diego, the Education Protection Account Fund amounts to $367,456, and we plan to expend this under the expenditure plan that is presented to the board for teacher salary and benefits.
Okay. Mary, any comments?
Recommend approval.
Recommendations?
Approval.
Very well. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 6.3.4?
Move to approve.
Very well. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Jane. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, we'll now move to a roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jane?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Thank you. Motion passes. Moving on. Move to item 6.0, board announcements and comments. From time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. There are information in nature and do not require any action. Are there any comments from members of the board?
None from me.
Nothing. I do want to take this opportunity because we have a significant number of individuals from the schools on our webinar this morning. I want to commend you all for your hard work, efforts, and dedication towards achieving the goal of our schools, making sure that students are first and politics never enter the classroom when it comes to achieving the objectives that are so important for us all, making sure that our students succeed. So again, I want to thank you all, and we'll continue to press as we get back to normal and make something better for tomorrow because of our efforts, okay? Anything else?
Thank you to all of you for your time. I know it's very valuable.
Okay, item 7.0 is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved. Great seeing you all.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Are there any no's? Then motion passes. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you.
Great work, everyone. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.